You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, listeners lavishing in linguistics and lazing in luxurious leather loafers. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 174, and I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your turnkey turkeys turning trivia turntables and trying to train your trusting troughs with trivia traps and trying tropes.
Oh, that was awesome. Did you write that?
Nope.
No, okay. That's definitely not.
I was like,
it's over long.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
I'm Chris.
And that was submitted by listener Michael. Thank you.
I liked it.
Yeah. T's and tris. Well, actually,
I feel like we're on a slippery slope here. I feel like eventually they're going to be like 6 minutes long.
No, right. Well, actually, a listener did email in a story about Superman completely in not 100% alliteration, but like, let's say 95% alliteration. Oh, I have exciting news, everybody. Chris was the one who shared it with us.
What?
Our favorite Tumblr, Bad Kids Jokes, now has a Twitter account.
I saw that you tweeted that. I was so excited.
So you can enjoy Bad Kids Jokes throughout the day with Twitter. The Twitter handle is @KidsWriteJokes. And it really is the same person whose job is to moderate Kids Joke website and basically puts all the failed kids jokes, the ones that don't make sense or like get the punchline wrong, into this Tumblr and now onto
fantastic
account.
Like when I read them, I like to pretend that this is the intentional work of like a surrealist, you know, that these are just intentionally absurd.
My favorite one is what did Batman say to Robin before they got into the Batmobile? Get in the car. follow them for a nice, hearty laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kids write jokes.
Yeah.
I saw a piece of news this week that I really wanted to share with you guys because I think you're going to find this very interesting. We all watch the Academy Awards clips of the Academy Awards.
Yes.
Yeah. Or bloopers from the Academy Awards. Anyway, we talk about it a lot on the show.
Yeah.
Just reading a report from the Wall Street Journal, this year's Academy Awards will introduce a brand new technological feature, which is... When they announce the actor or whoever who wins the award and they come up on stage to begin their speech, they will begin scrolling on the screen a pre-written list of people that the actor wants to thank.
Oh.
So in the hopes that the actor does not have to remember all of the people that they're thanking and stand up there making sure to thank everybody and can instead, the hope goes, just, you know, say something inspirational or interesting. Rather than have to rattle off a whole list of names.
Oh, so...
Because they don't want to forget somebody.
Got it. Wait. So as viewers, they're going to have...
When you watch it, exactly. So when you watch it on TV,
like the news ticker,
possibly on the Jumbotron.
Oh, they might have a Jumbotron.
They might.
I have to imagine this is
a thank you ticker.
This is also probably to speed things up, I would guess, as well, right?
Out of courtesy to the winners. They make reference in the Wall Street Journal story to, like, last year's show, the winner for Best Documentary Short was played off with music as she started talking about her son's suicide.
Yeah.
So they kind of want to avoid things like that happening again. Yeah.
Interesting.
They want to let you be able to talk about a story that you want to talk about.
Versus
feeling like you have to rattle off a list of names.
Right.
But we shall see. This could become the new thing, or it could become like an embarrassing thing they back away from.
You know what? I think it's smart.
But now they can't be like, oh, I didn't prepare a speech. I didn't think I was going to win because on the bottom of the screen it's
they'll just have everyone submit a list of names, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would feel like that's like jinxing it. I can see there being some people who are like, I don't want to write an award.
Everybody's going to do it.
There's going to be one person who won't do it. There's going to be one person. I guarantee.
Right. Okay. I want somebody to write prank names.
Right.
Right.
Huge ass.
Yeah. And a bunch more we can't say on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. When is Academy Awards? Is that coming up soon?
Every year.
They're in February.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you, Colin. That's a lot more helpful. Well, we'll stay tuned. It's going to be another year of more trivia.
More trivia.
More trivia to occupy our brain. And speaking of more trivia, let's start off with our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Chat. You guys have your barnyard buzzers. Now we're all the barnyard animals are back to their rightful owners.
Yes, yes, it's the triumphant return of the horse buzzer.
All right, here I have a Trivial Pursuit Genus 4 card.
All right.
Things might have been updated. We shall see.
Okay.
Here we go. People and Places, Blue Wedge. What's the world's top-selling duty-free product? Colin.
I mean, I'm going to guess whiskey. Or
incorrect.
Or liquor.
Chris.
Cigarettes.
Okay. Cigarettes. So is it that or cigarette, yeah.
Could be alcohol now.
Could be Toblerone.
Could be. That's true. Yeah, they sell the really
basics.
They sell the super big ones, like the Monster Toblerone.
They do.
Yeah.
All right, Pink Wedge for Arts and Entertainment. Where was the ship headed from Mexico in Catherine Ann Porter's Ship of Fools?
Oh,
I assume this is a novel.
We've had this at trivia before.
Oh well, I don't know.
I haven't. Yeah, I didn't read it.
Ready?
Yeah.
Miami.
Incorrect.
From Mexico?
From Mexico.
Yeah. I figure maybe they're going back to the U.S. and they're going to land in
Florida. It's a country.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Colin.
England.
Oh, you're close. It is Germany.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Germany. Wow, Mexico to Germany.
That's a long boat
it
ride.
It is a long boat ride. Huh. You'd have to be very foolish.
A ship of fools.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. All right, Yellow Wedge for history. What country lost 3.7 million people in a 1931 flood?
What country lost how many people?
3.7 million.
India?
Dana. Incorrect. Colin.
China.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Was it like the flooding of the Yangtze River or something like
it
that?
It doesn't say. It just says China. Mm-hmm. But I believe you.
Okay.
But yeah, India and China. Well, I mean, you just guess with the country.
All the people
with,
are.
Yeah.
And they have floods both.
All the time.
And a lot of people lose.
Yeah.
Big population.
Brown Wedge, Science and Nature. What does an Alabama-approved disclaimer in biology textbooks describe as only, quote, a controversial theory? Everybody.
Evolution.
Correct.
So controversial.
Very controversial. Green Wedge for Sports and Leisure. What Major League Baseball team is sometimes dubbed the Fish? Oh.
I like Christopher.
Oh, Chris.
The Marlins.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Florida Marlins.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. The Marlin is a... Fish.
That's,
are there no other fish teams?
I can't think of any.
Rays?
Those aren't really fish, though. Fish. Yeah.
Why?
Because they're Rays.
Yeah, the Rays.
Oh,
it's a different color.
Yeah.
And actually, I should say, since that card was written, the team has renamed. They're now the Miami Marlins. They used to be the Florida Marlins.
Oh, yes? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, Florida would be the state that has all the aquatic mascots. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of other – all the other mascots are mostly birds.
Lots of footwear.
Socks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just the two.
Yeah, and then that's it. Birds and footwear.
Birds and footwear. Yeah.
Birds and footwear.
And a fish. All right, last question, wild card. What author's first and middle names were Alan Alexander?
Oh.
Chris.
A.A. Milne.
Yes.
He of Winnie the Pooh.
Yes. Yeah. Alan Alexander. I did not know this. Yes. I mean, I only know because of A.A. Alan.
A.A. Yeah, exactly. A.A. Rowling.
Alan Alexander. That's a good trivia tidbit. All right, good job, brains. So Colin suggested that we do an episode just with the title Whoops. Dedicate to mistakes, slip ups. We did have a similar episode that was was epic fail.
Yeah.
That talked about like massive, you know, scale of just like failure, but this is like mistakes.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about whoops. 'Cause you lose all my senses. That is just so typically me. Baby, baby, oops, I did it again. I play with your heart, got lies in the game. Oh, baby, baby, oops, you think I'm in love, that I'm sent from above. I'm not innocent.
I will start us off. I have a quiz about goofs and gaffes, slip-ups, and skin.
Oh,
Wow.
Yeah. That's, got your attention, right?
Yeah.
More poetic than my intro.
So yeah, Karen, I actually was specifically inspired the idea of
oops, right.
Or whatever, because I think you and I were coming back probably after pub quiz one night, and it was just a few days after the Miss Universe slip up this year with Steve Harvey.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was what got me thinking specifically about like goofs and things on TV. So I've got a quiz for you guys about memorable oops moments that all happened on TV, television.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's naturally when you sit, like put emphasis on whoops, your whole body has to like emote, you know, like
one hand goes up.
Yeah, your shoulders go up and your eyes go.
You get kind of the wavy. Yeah. So if you may not have seen the broadcast or read about it, yes, this was just recently at this year's Miss Universe ceremony. Master of Ceremonies comedian and television personality Steve Harvey, unfortunately, announced the wrong winner on live TV right at the end, and then had to tell. After a minute, you know, had to looking at the card.
So, oh, because they gave her the crown.
Gave everything, yes. Power. Here you go. You win. Yes. And then he's furrowing his brow, looking at the card, and he's like, oh, actually. So he had to go over and correct himself, take the stuff away, give it to the real winner. It was just a catastrophe. It was a catastrophe.
Yeah.
So I have a 2-point question here for you guys.
Right.
For 1 point each. For 1 point each.
Yeah.
I want you guys to tell me, who was the actual winner, and who did he announce mistakenly as the winner? Oh, everyone. Everyone seems pretty confident.
The actual winner
was Philippines.
Uh-huh. The mistaken was
Colombia.
Yep, you guys got it. That's right. Ariadna Gutierrez from Miss Colombia has probably made more fame for herself in being misannounced as the winner.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of runner-ups do get a lot of attention.
No.
But because of this, you know.
I won't short the real winner. That's Pia Wurtzbach, by the way.
Wurtzbach?
I remember this because Steve Harvey then took to Twitter to apologize.
Oh my God.
To the people of Colombia, spelled wrong, and to the people of the Philippines. So then that went viral.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a rough night. Like, he had a rough night.
Yeah. It was a bad night. Now, honestly, a lot of it was bad design. You should see
it
the
is.
Card.
Yeah.
Because
the card says, like, second runner up, first runner up, and it really seems like the first runner up is the winner because it's kind of like one. And then the actual winner was, like, way down in the corner.
And it's tiny.
Smaller type.
Yeah.
Oh, you set him up.
Poor design.
Set him up for failure.
Yeah.
At last year's Academy Awards ceremony.
Oh.
John Travolta. Famously.
Oh, okay.
Famously.
Last year.
It's been a year.
It's only been a year.
Famously mangled the name of singer Idina Menzel while introducing her performance of Let It Go from the hit movie Frozen. By what name did he misintroduce her? Chris.
The lovely and talented Adele Dazeem.
That's correct.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. Yeah.
That I have no idea. I can't.
He's like, nobody will be able to tell the difference.
Similar letters.
Yeah.
John Travolta, for his part, he claims that he sort of is blaming Goldie Hawn for this mistake here. He says that they were talking before he went out on stage and that she had rewritten some of the names to be more phonetically pronounced, I suppose. This all seems a little fishy to me, to be quite honest. I think he just goofed, but she
corrected his pronunciation.
Right.
She's like, no, it's pronounced.
right. It's like, yeah.
The I is silent. And the M is.
So are the other letters.
Yeah. Every letter is silent.
You're going to look like an idiot if you say it wrong.
We'll stick with the Academy Awards here. In 2011. The winner of the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress let loose an accidental F-bomb in her acceptance speech. Mm-hmm. For 2 points, Karen, here we go. Karen's ready. Mm-hmm. For 2 points, who was the actress who loosed the F-bomb? And what previous Oscar winner was she name-checking when she dropped said F-bomb?
I I thought you were going to ask the second one is for what movie did she win for?
Well, you know, yeah, we'll make that an unofficial bonus third point. So go ahead.
Melissa Leo.
It was Melissa Leo.
For The Fighter.
It was for The Fighter.
I don't know what she was name checking.
Judy Dench or Helen Mirren?
Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah. You got the nationality right
British
there,
lady,
Dana.
Not Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet. Yeah.
Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
Winslet or Blanchett?
Kate Winslet.
Winslet. Okay.
Yeah,
Winslet.
When Melissa Leo, she said, when I watched Kate 2 years ago, it looked so effing easy. And then she's like, oops.
So when on live TV, when people do drop the F-bombs, they get fined, right? Like, who gets fined?
It can be it's the network that is supposed to have the responsibility for it. But they can also try and, you know, find the actual, like, they wanted to fine MIA, remember when she flipped the bird at the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Justin Timberlake, right?
Yeah.
Janet Jackson.
Well, you know,
also they fined them.
They wanted to. I don't know if they did or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of, you know, I mean, in the last few years, more and more of the live broadcast shows, they've just gone to a few second delay just to avoid any of these problems. So even though they say it's live, it's mostly live. Yeah, right. In Super Bowl 45. 2011.
Okay.
2011.
Oh, that's 5 years ago.
Just five short years ago.
Okay.
This singer famously goofed the lyrics of the national anthem.
Oh.
Who was that?
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was.
Oh, I know.
No, well,
Chris.
It was Christina Aguilera.
Yeah. Christina Aguilera. Yeah.
What did she say instead?
She swapped. So she said, instead of "or the ramparts we watched," she said, "what so proudly we watched."
Yeah.
So she instead of like "what so proudly we hailed," and she she mixed up. Watched. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard to, you know, because mid sentence, I bet she's like, "oops." Like,
I can't imagine.
At least she didn't just stop. Show must go on.
Yeah.
What if it's like,
and just run off stage?
Right.
All right. Well, we alluded to it just a couple questions ago, and we're already talking about the Super Bowl. So let's talk about Super Bowl 38, the birth of the phrase "wardrobe malfunction."
Also, isn't it like the birth of YouTube?
That's what they say. The birth of YouTube. They say that was what prompted people trying to go find it online. TiVo said it was by far their most rewound moment in history. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you all the really obvious trivia, because we've had this so many times in quiz. All right. So it was in 2004. It was Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake. It was in Houston.
Yeah.
The Patriots. Oh, okay. The Patriots Houston. Beat the Panthers that year.
Oh yeah, because it's P&P. Because I was like, oh, it's like Pacey's and Pacey. So it's Panther and Patriots.
All right.
That's how I remembered it.
I want to know, but what song were Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake performing the moment her nipple was revealed to the live TV audience? Dana.
Is it called "Rock Your Body"?
It is called "Rock Your Body."
And by the end of this song, and then it's like nipple.
And I was like, whoops. And after that, MTV was no longer asked to produce any other Super Bowl halftime shows ever again.
Yep.
This is what happens.
They could no longer be interesting.
Because after that, it was like you too, Tom Petty. Yeah.
Classic rock.
Yeah.
A salute to retirees.
Yeah.
It's like nobody with boobs for a while.
Right.
Then you're not allowed to have them on the Super Bowl until you've proven.
We just feel like we shouldn't have any boobs at all.
During the live broadcast of the 2002 Golden Globes ceremony.
2002?
Sorry, I goofed.
Okay.
During the live...
I'm so dumb.
During the live broadcast of the 2003 Golden Globes ceremony, the lead singer of what band prompted hundreds of complaints to the FCC after proclaiming their win for a song in a movie really, really effing brilliant? And you can imagine what the singer said. He did not say effin'.
For a movie.
I'll even give you the movie. The movie was Gangs of New York.
Hugely popular
rock band, Chris.
U2.
It was U2.
Oh.
Yes, Bono.
It was Bono?
Said, yeah, so the win was really, really effin' brilliant. And here's where this gets so interesting to me. So, of course, many, many people wrote in to voice their displeasure. They went back and forth and back and forth, and the FCC eventually said it was not indecent or obscene because he wasn't using the F word to describe a sexual act. Mm-hmm. This is a quote. The performer used the word as an adjective or expletive to emphasize an exclamation.
Mm. So he's describing brilliant.
Right.
Very.
Exactly.
Instead of very.
How brilliant is it? It's effing brilliant. Yeah.
Extremely.
Yeah. Huh. Now, needless to say, that did not stop the networks from going to a 10-second delay for all future shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what, was it that incident that sparked the 10-second delay?
That was a real big part of it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that and then followed the next year by the Nipplegate, the Janet Jackson thing. Yeah.
It really solidified.
Yeah. These days, there's really nothing that goes out live anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I want to hear about the person that has to man the bleep button.
Yeah.
You know.
Kenneth does it on 30 Rock.
Yeah. Right.
Or is it a one guy, or do you think it's a team? Or is it a computer?
I don't know.
It's actually really interesting. I mean, if we have time, we can talk about it. I read a lot about this.
Oh, yeah, please tell us.
Okay, yeah.
Well, so, I mean, in the real early days, you know, you talk about, like, oh, the 7-second delay, you know, right? Yeah. And, like, really all it was, you know, you've got the live broadcast going to one tape deck, and then it's spooling out going to another tape deck that is really what goes out to be shown to the people at home. Okay. And the time between the two tape decks was the time that somebody sitting there watching would basically have to hit the beep button and overdub it sort of as it's going out. Mm-hmm. This was back in the day of reel-to-reel tape machines. Once things started getting computerized and digitized, they could set any kind of arbitrary delay they want. It's all computerized now. They call it a dump box. It's called a dump box. So you've got your truly, truly live feed of the show that's going past, you know, whoever's in charge of hitting the sensor button. And what they approve or add beeps to goes down to the dump box, and that's what goes out to the live audience.
Right. So there still is a guy...
It's a man, a woman, a team,
a person.
But Karen,
a human.
They do have, some of the networks do now have proprietary software that can automate a lot of this.
Okay, so that's where I figured.
Yep, they can key it to certain words. They can key it to certain mouth shapes.
Wow. See,
lip reading.
I know you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
Even before the sound comes out, your mouth is already
pre-crime.
Making the shape.
Yeah.
Precog.
In 1975, speaking of tape delays, what comedian was only allowed to host NBC's Saturday Night Live if producer Lorne Michaels agreed to institute a 7-second delay? Chris.
Richard Pryor.
That is, famously, Richard Pryor. Mm. Yeah. And this was a fight. You know, Lorne Michaels went back and forth with the network, with NBC. He's like, no, I don't want to put, you know, a delay on. We didn't put one on for George Carlin. Why do we have to put one on for Richard Pryor? And if Richard Pryor finds out, he's not going to be happy. Mm. So the network wanted 10 seconds. Lorne Michaels, apparently, this sounds like they talked him down to 5 seconds.
It's like Pawn Stars.
Yeah, as if it makes a difference.
It's a delay.
About it. The sink of the, yeah.
Or at least like a 15-second stream of profanities, yeah. Right.
Right.
So the story is told as 7 seconds. I've read that they negotiated down to 5 seconds, but here's where it gets funny. Years later, Dave Wilson, who was director at the time, he says that the show actually was live because the crew couldn't figure out how to get the delay mechanism working because they'd never used it. It was the first season of SNL.
Oh, yeah.
So they kind of just shined on NBC. They're like, oh yeah, we've got the delay in place. Okay. Don't worry. Yeah.
The technology exists.
Yeah, so the show went on. It's one of the classic shows. They've only busted out the bleep button, the censor delay on SNL twice more after that. They did it once for Sam Kinison in the
80s. Okay.
Who was not just profane but I think a little hard to control, right.
You might just do it to do it.
right. And then again in 1990. Do you guys want to take a guess? Who would have been the most profane comic of 1990?
Andrew Dice Clay.
He's banned. He's banned from SNL.
Banned from what? Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There's a list of banned performers and hosts.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them is because of profanity.
Somewhere hard to work with.
Yeah.
All right, we'll close it out here with a provide the answer question.
Okay.
Don't we always provide the answers?
Sorry. I realized I worded that. I want to have you guys each write down the thing. How should I say that? A write-in answer?
Okay, all right.
I'm going to close this out here with a write-in answer. You guys are each going to write down your guess here as to what I am looking for. And remember, I promised goofs and gaffs, slip-ups and skin. So, the Nickelodeon network, who runs Nick at Night, okay. One of the shows they run is the classic hit Three's Company. Mm-hmm. In recent years, a viewer wrote into Nickelodeon to let them know that he spotted something that he think might need to be changed. So Nickelodeon went back and re-edited a goof that had been in the episode since 1983. So I want you guys to tell me, take a guess, what could have caused Nickelodeon to go back and edit a 30-plus-year-old episode of Three's Company? And I will tell you this, it's a hint. It's not a nipple slip or boob slip.
Okay.
All right. And answers ready. Chris says John Ritter's penis. I hope you didn't already have that written down before the show started.
I carry this around in my wallet.
Karen says butt crack. And Dana says, John Ritter's genitalia. Yeah. Wow, man, you guys are all over John Ritter's genitalia. It was actually, one of John Ritter's testicles.
Because his shorts are so short.
I think Dana wins for going general.
Absolutely.
Like, no, I knew, I think I knew specifically, but I was like, can we say as
yes.
Yeah. You're being more scientific.
This is not the scientific term.
No, it's a different.
It's penis adjacent. Yeah, right, you're right, Karen. It was like
shorts
it's
are so
Jack
short.
Tripper with those super short shorts and no underwears. Yeah, and no underwear beneath it. It was 1983 episode. Right. So it's the episode "The Charming Stranger," and which seems strangely appropriate.
It's like
yeah, it's my little charming stranger.
<It's flirty. laughs> A flirty little appearance. Hello.
There's this so Jack, like he sits down on the couch and it's ever so brief. It's super, super quick. Just a little bit of a flash of
which nobody noticed for decades.
Yeah, because right. you know, no this was VCR. Pre-TiVo. This was like some people had VCR, but again, no one's going back and looking for, you know, flashes of what's that?
Is it in HD now?
If you can find on, of course, on the internet, you can find screen caps of the aforementioned scene if you want to go take a look at it.
Oh, no, I mean, did they put them in HD, not like...
I don't think it was filmed in HD.
It wasn't like, filmed in HD. I have to close this with a quote from the late, great John Ritter himself.
Oh!
So this was before he passed away, thankfully. Asked about the controversy.
Those quotes from after they passed away.
Right. I make up quotes all the time.
Boring. Yeah.
He told the New York Observer, "I've requested that Nickelodeon air both versions, edited and unedited, because sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't."
Zazing!
Like, look how young I was there.
I've mentioned on the show before, there's an interview with the guy who works on the TV show Cops. And if you don't know, that's the American show where it's kind of reality. They follow cops chasing criminals and stuff. It's always in shaky cam and where they have footage from like the security cameras. And so it's one guy's job to blurt out butt cracks because there's so much butt crack from the criminals and from the police, you know, like when they're running or they're tussling on the ground.
Oh, okay.
And so this guy has to basically make a big unibutt. and so they don't blur it out. He like actually fills it in.
Oh, they fill it in with flesh colored.
Yeah. So he goes in. So
yeah, because when you blur something out, you call it tension.
Yeah, it's like it's obvious there's something going on.
Yeah. So in keeping with the theme of whoops, I just want to talk about some small, tiny little mistakes. The tiniest kinds of mistakes you can possibly make, which are typos.
Oh.
You accidentally hit the wrong key on the keyboard, or in one case that I'm going to talk about, you know, insert the wrong word into your, you know, Gutenberg press or whatever. And, and it just, you know, just accidentally, you know, just like one letter is wrong. One number is wrong. What could possibly
go
wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
No, I have compiled a list of some of the most momentous, catastrophic typos, teeny, teeny, tiny errors throughout history.
Okay.
Relying heavily on the fact that there are tons of articles on the internet called the 10 most worst typos in history. There's some on mental floss and cracked and things like that. And say greatest hits. December 8th, 2005. The Japanese investment banking firm, Mizuho Securities, wants to sell one share of stock in a company called J-Com for 610,000 yen. So $6,000-ish.
Okay.
The firm had just IPO'd, and they just had if they had to enter in, they were going to sell one share for 610,000 yen. Instead, they accidentally place an order with the Tokyo Stock Exchange and say that they are going to sell 610,000 shares
for one yen.
They lose about $400 million.
Oh, my God.
Because the Tokyo Stock Exchange, so they immediately after Butterfingers does this, they send a error report to the Tokyo Stock Exchange saying, hey, cancel this. It's an error. Cancel it. But it doesn't get canceled. And basically, it's just out there all day, the whole day of trading.
The whole day?
By the time that they finally cancel it, they had just sold or basically made a legally binding promise that they were going to provide you with a share of this company for a yen.
There's no double checking process or authorization.
Yeah,
buttons.
Very interesting that you say that because they took the Tokyo Stock Exchange to court, arguing that
and
their system was defective and that their system should have canceled it, but that the system being defective, it kind of screwed them over. And they did have a partial victory in court and prove that Tokyo Stock Exchange was partially negligent and responsible. And they got, like, some money back from them. But they lost a lot of money. Just imagine being that guy. Just imagine being that guy.
I wonder if he can laugh or she could laugh about it now. Like
he can probably laugh about it now. I hope so. I certainly hope so.
At his new company.
Just to lose so much money so quickly.
My heart skips a beat when I send out the wrong signature on an email, let alone costing somebody $400 million.
Let's go back to the year 1631.
Okay.
Whoa.
A little early.
Way back.
Sure.
The Royal Printers of London, because there's not a whole lot of printers out there, but these are the ones who do the work for the king and everything like that. They're the officially appointed Royal Printers. Mm-hmm. Of London. They put together a new edition of the King James Bible. As you do, got to get some more Bibles out there for the public. They need their Bibles. A handsome new edition of the Bible. They accidentally eliminate one word. One tiny three-letter word.
I've never heard of this.
They accidentally leave a tiny three-letter word out of the Bible. That word was not. The word was N-O-T. They left the word out of the Bible. And the resulting sentence, which was, to be fair, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, was, thou shalt commit adultery.
That's funny.
So the Bible
said,
honey,
you have to.
I got the book today.
Have to, or else you don't get into heaven. This is a big problem. Like, when the king is mad at you, you have a big problem. They were fined 300 pounds in Renaissance money. So that was about $60,000 today. They were pretty much ruined after that. I mean, they couldn't work in that town again. Bad times. They rounded up and burned most of the books. But there are extant copies today. There's about 10 of them. They're known as the Wicked Bible.
Right.
Or the Sinner's Bible.
How much are they worth?
Tens of thousands of dollars, depending. Yeah. Nothing too crazy. Anywhere between 10 and 50 or so is what I saw. Yeah. Yep. Mm. They come up for sale every now and again.
Okay.
Wow. The Wicked Bible.
Once people get over the,
I feel like, in the last year, I was just, maybe one just sold or got a new collection or something recently.
Yep,
and
yep.
I saw
You'll
a little picture of the, thou shalt commit
thou
adultery.
Thou shalt commit adultery.
They're like, there's so many other words we got guys. So
much other words correct.
But also, there's so many other words, but it just happens it's the commandments.
Right.
It's one of the commandments. It's not like
somebody
it's
begat
a bad,
somebody.
You forgot a begat.
In 1934, Webster's Dictionary defined dord, that's D-O-R-D, as a word meaning density used in physics or chemistry. If you look it up, and a 1934 Webster's Dictionary, the new International Dictionary from the 1940s. There might still be one in your school.
Okay.
Look it up. DORD, D-O-R-D. It is a term in physics or chemistry meaning density. This was in the dictionary for a while until somebody wrote in and said, you know, I've never heard this word. I am a physicist. Like, what? Can you guys want to go back and double check this? Because it's a little bit weird. And, you know, things can really hide out in the dictionary. Nobody said,
yeah.
Some people do read the dictionary, but, you know,
yeah.
Not yet. Unfortunately, the editor who was an expert in chemistry and physics had submitted, you know, the list of words that he was submitting for the dictionary or, you know, oh, this is what we should change for this edition, had in fact submitted a piece of paper that said, by the way, D, as in a capital D, or D, as in a small lowercase d, is an abbreviation that means density. So we should add that to the list of abbreviations for D.
D or D.
Right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the person who put it in thought that the paper said DORD.
Is an abbreviation.
Means density. Right.
Because it's a big D and then a small D.
And then a small OR and a small D.
It's like a proper word.
You know, a DORD.
This is like a cake wreck.
It is, yes. You know, the cake
like
wreck
of dictionaries.
Like
purple with balloons.
Yeah. We'll just write it on.
Yeah.
Purple with balloons.
John, underneath that, we will miss you. So the next time you see a new international dictionary, it looks like it's from the 30s or 40s.
I'm totally going to check. I'm going to see if I have a Dordian dictionary.
Yep, worth nothing. Sorry. Finally, we'll blast off to July 22nd, 1962. Okay. The Mariner 1. Mariner 1. It was NASA's first attempt at a planetary mission. It was an unmanned probe.
Oh, okay.
But it was supposed to go to Venus and get information about Venus and then send it back to us. And it was definitely going to do that. Long story short, this is known as, quote, the most expensive dropped hyphen ever.
It
might have been a hyphen, might have been a decimal point. People are sort of unclear on what exactly the problem was. NASA did not really spell it out for people in the 60s, but basically, as far as we know, it might have been an over bar, which is like a bar that goes over a character rather than a hyphen. It was
the
a
macron
dash type thing. Yes, okay. Indeed. Yeah, somebody left that out of the computer instructions. And so they launched the Mariner 1 probe, and then within minutes they realized it was flying way off of the trajectory that it was supposed to have, and that it might crash into a occupied area of the world, and they had to detonate it. So they sent it up there, and then within minutes they were like, no, and they had to detonate the whole thing. $18 million in 1962 money.
Some odd million dollars
worth today.
That's too
Mission
bad.
To Venus start. Yeah.
Check your work.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Well, now I don't feel so bad about my typos.
Yeah, exactly. Well, with autocorrect now, it's almost impossible to spell.
Yeah, but
it puts correctly spelled incorrect words.
Yeah, right, yeah. Like trivia is always Tricia. Hey guys.
Hey guys.
I'm coming to Tricia.
Yeah.
I got bar Tricia. Like, oh, phone. All right. Let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey, Matt, did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope, never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, Plus, tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's triviality.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Job Brain. And this week we're talking about whoops, mistakes, slips, goofs. And Dana, I hear that you have quite a surprise for us.
Over the holidays, I went to Sweden and Denmark, and I brought you guys more treats.
Yay!
Last time, I brought you candy. It's still candy. Yeah, yeah. It's candy to other people. It was very salty and licorice-y. This time, I decided to just go for savory, not even pretend it's candy.
Okay.
All right. So I'll tell you what I brought you guys four kinds of Swedish tube cheese.
Oh my god!
Oh, what?
No.
In a big, it looks like a toothpaste tube, a jumbo toothpaste tube.
I thought tube was like, as in like a polenta tube. No, wow. It's a toothpaste tube.
And I'm told people eat it for breakfast.
Sure.
So this is the natural flavor, the original flavor.
Good. Natural Good. Tube cheese.
Just straight tube cheese.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is shrimp flavored.
What? Is the mistake showing up here today?
This is a good prank. You put it where you put someone's toothpaste in.
Oh my god!
This is bacon cheese.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds good. Okay. Well, they have bacon flavored easy cheese, they have bacon flavored.
This is their easy
dog cheese.
This is reindeer cheese.
Oh, okay.
Made with reindeer meat.
Whoa!
And as a bonus.
There's more.
Don't answer yet.
I also
call
have
now and get
moose jerky, moose snacks made with moose meat for you guys. So don't worry, you don't have to necessarily eat all of these. These are the rewards for getting the quiz wrong. The quiz you're about to take.
That's a nice little PR stunt.
That's the reward for wrong.
If I get it right, I get bacon cheese. If I get it wrong, I get.
I'll let you choose. I'll let you choose which ones. You want to try. So the quiz I made for you guys is called Sometimes It's Hard to Say Sorry. So there are five snacks here. There are five Nordic countries. I used Google Translate and I translated the word sorry into these different languages, into the different five countries. They are Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden. So listening to these words and whatever stereotypes you have in your head and like random look, you will find out how many of these delectable salty snacks you have to eat.
Write them down?
Yeah, write them down. So the way it's going to work is I'll play all five. They're short. Oh. They're just one word usually in these languages. They're audio from Google Translate.
Okay.
I checked them with a Swedish person and he thought they looked like they were the right meaning of sorry. The five countries are Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden.
D-fins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. D-fins.
All right.
Or fines.
You know, I like saying D-fins.
That's good. So I'll play them, and you write down 1 through 5 which ones you think they are.
All right.
Okay.
Pahoillani. Pahoillani. Pahoillani.
Okay, that was number one. Number two is
unskyld. Unskyld. Unskyld.
Number three.
Beklager. 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 Förlåt. Förlåt. Förlåt.
Three meter.
Why are these funny books?
Is the last one off of a speaking spell?
Three meter. Three meter.
That's the Google Translate voice for this language. That's maybe a hint.
Can we do real quick one sure. Run down again?
Pahoillani. Unskyld. Beklager. Förlåt.
Smeder.
You ready?
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
So the first one is
I put Norway.
I put Norway.
I put Iceland.
Finnish.
Ah.
All right, so everybody's having at least one thing.
Unskyld.
Is
I put Swedish.
I put Denmark.
I put Finland.
Denmark.
Yeah!
Danish.
I didn't live there for vain.
Well, I know I got it wrong.
I put Denmark.
I put Sweden.
It's Norwegian.
Forlåt.
I put Sweden.
I put Sweden.
Great, I got them all Finland. Wrong. I put Finland.
I put Norway.
And then this one.
Iceland.
I put Finnish.
Oh, okay.
Woo!
Sorry, how was that a hint that it being in Google?
Because that's such a remote.
Because it's not part of that immediate area.
See, I went Finnish because it's like so unrelated to so many other languages. Yeah,
Iceland.
Okay,
yeah, makes sense.
Deep cuts, yeah,
makes sense now.
I got three wrong.
All right.
I got three wrong. We all got three wrong.
No,
I got them all wrong.
You have to eat everything.
That's not going to happen. Okay, it's a texture thing for me. I'm just not.
What, the cheese or the
cream cheese? Yeah, just the creamy cheese is just not my thing.
Oh, what about brie?
Don't like brie.
You're too picky. You can't. This is punishment. Oh my god, it farts like a toothpaste.
It smells like bacon, but it smells like kind of it has a cat food-y kind of smell.
You know, I was expecting shrimp cheese to be orange or pink. It is. White, like
it's like cheese with little bits. Yeah, mine has little bits of it.
Okay. This reminds me of the soft cheese wedges from
I'll try some just plain original.
Okay.
Colin's game.
Why does it have meat on the front?
That's so weird.
I think those are little onions.
Really? I think this is just like...
Well, it's good because it comes in paint tubes. Like, that's kind of the weird part. It's the metal...
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's it does. This is like the tube I would get like furniture polish in.
Right, right.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Quick.
It is like the Laughing Cow thing.
It does. You're right. It does taste like Laughing Cow cheese.
Yeah,
you're right.
The bacon.
It does.
I think it's just the fact that it comes from a handheld tube.
So nobody wants
to try it. Reindeer cheese. Yeah.
When I was on the plane back, they were offering us sandwiches, and they're like, "Do you want a cheese sandwich or a Rudolph sandwich?" And I was like, "What?"
Oh my God.
They said, "Yes." And it was reindeer.
You can't do that.
It was right after Christmas too.
Okay. Well, hit me with some moose jerky.
All right.
Oh, you gotta put. Oh, you should put the cheese on the moose jerky.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, first of all, I'll try.
They're like cocktail
sausages. They're little cocktail weenies.
They are.
Bacon cheese is going on the moose jerky. This is not kosher.
Yeah.
Bacon cheese and moose jerky is fantastic.
Well, thank you, Dana, for this feast.
You're welcome.
For this tube feast.
It's all tube related. You're right.
It's all tubes.
Be honest, I haven't had any of it. I just thought it was really weird.
Oh my God.
Now the truth comes out,
I was like, what can I feed them that's not poison and interesting?
Swedish tube cheese, yes.
Yeah. Man, you know what we should do one day is to have a tube feast. And we can just have all, like wasabi tubes, chocolate tubes for dessert. Like everything
just squeeze it all out.
That's coming in a tube. Okay.
You just have stripes on your plate.
Yeah.
Just aqua fresh.
That's very futuristic.
Yeah, it's very molecular gastronomy type thing, kind of, but just all tubes. Cool. Thank you, Dana.
You're welcome.
That was actually better than candy. All right. It's my turn. I have one last segment dedicated to mistakes. Before I really jump into my topic, I want to read this little summary that I thought Wikipedia did a very good job of summarizing this person. It's Wikipedia, so it sounds more official. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read an excerpt here. Road Pig was declared by his doctor to be the ugliest looking baby he had ever seen As a child, he was expelled from kindergarten for milk money extortion and was dishonorably discharged from the Cub Scouts.
What?
What?
Road Pig's arrest record includes charges of speeding, reckless endangerment, littering, assault, grand theft auto, what, felony spitting? What is felony spitting?
Felony spitting?
What is that?
Was it like spitting?
That's just intense kind of spitting you can do.
No,
jeez.
It's like dangerous.
Felony spitting. Wow.
Like actual spit?
Yeah. Like spitting bullets.
Petty bribery and passing stopped school buses at high speeds. So, who is Road Pig?
Who is this miscreant?
Road Pig is a fictional character from the G.I. Joe, a comic book and cartoon series. He kind of looks like an ugly Thor. That's what it looks like.
He looks like what?
An ugly Thor. Like, he has a big hammer.
Oh, okay.
He has, like, a metal, like, super hardcore metal armor, and his face is super hard looking.
Is he a bad guy?
Bad guy. The important part about Road Pig is he is from a city in Michigan called Go Blue. Okay. G-O-B-L-U. Mm-hmm. This city from Michigan, we've talked about this before about copyright traps and also with map making, where with cartographers and map makers, in order to kind of, you know, when they do the surveying and they're the ones trekking and finding out, you know, distances and boundaries or whatnot, they would insert fictional roads, bodies of water, cities to kind of, you know, say that this is my signature.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that if someone copies it, then they know that, you know, Rand McNally, the map giant, just totally basically copied your map that you worked so hard surveying and researching for. Mm-hmm. So there are two cities in Michigan called, I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's,
Can I guess?
Yes.
Can I guess? All right. Yes. If one of them is Go Blue, I'm going to guess the other one is like, Bitosu or something.
It is.
Like, okay.
It's
all
Bitosu and Go Blue.
Yeah.
B E A T O S U.
B-O-S-U.
Wow.
And G O B L U, no E. So Bitosu and Go Blue. So these two cities were inserted into the 1978 and 1979 official state of Michigan map. And if you know the college rivalries, Ohio State University is a big rival school, the rival school for Michigan. And Michigan's, you know, color is blue. So hence Go Blue and then beat OSU, Bitosu. So Peter Fletcher, who was at the time the state highway commission, he was the chairman of it, decided to insert the fake towns Go Blue and also Bitosu. And funny enough, there is a G.I. Joe villain that was birthed in Go Blue, which was Road Pig. This which is so random. I don't know if the creators knew that or did they just pick a map.
If you saw Go Blue, Michigan, and you're at all aware of like college rivalries, you'd be like, wait a minute. You probably are aware it's a joke.
These maps, and the thing is, some of these, this is 1979. Like, it's not even that long ago. Imagine even long before that with explorers, people arriving by ship, like most of the maps were wrong. They had not only in addition to the trap stuff they add in, you know, there's no one to not a lot of people have the opportunity to have their work double checked.
Right.
Especially if you're an explorer. So actually, I read somewhere that for a really long time, people thought California was an island. Because no one made the full, you know, they got far enough. They're like, this seems like there's a lot of water there, like with inlets. And it's like, let's just cool, whatever. Let's just an island. No one really fully discovered whether or not you could circumnavigate
go all the way around
the island of California.
It wasn't a perfect science.
It wasn't. So with a lot of these trap things, trap streets, trap lakes, trap whatever, trap landmarks, a lot of people think they're real and would keep making more maps after a while. And so then
it's adored on a map. Yeah.
So no one knew that this was wrong.
People drive there and they buy a house and they're like, I live in Go Blue.
I have to think that people in Michigan knew that Go Blue is not real.
Sure. But if I'm looking at a map, like a printed map, I would just like glance over it and not think of anything.
You'll skip right past it.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about being wrong and Swedish delicacies. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And thanks to our sponsor, Harry's. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.